Mary had a little man.
The fault.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe me.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
Public have a right to see the Mueller report?
I don't mind. I mean, frankly, I told the House, if you want, let them see it. Again, I say, a deputy, because of the fact that the attorney general didn't have the courage to do it himself, a deputy that's appointed appoints another man to write a report. I just won an election with 63 million votes or so, 63 million. I had 206 to 223 in the Electoral College, 306 to 223. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, I just won one of the greatest elections of all time in the history of this country, and even you will admit that. And now I have somebody writing a report that never got a vote. It's called the Mueller report.
It is.
So explain that, because my voters don't get it. And I don't get it. Now, at the same time, let it come out. Let people see it. That's up to the attorney general. We have a very good attorney general. He's a very highly respected man. And we'll see what happens. But it's sort of interesting that a man out of the blue just writes a report. I got 306 electoral votes.
Say it again.
Against 223. That's a tremendous victory. I got 63 million more. I got 63 million votes. And now somebody just writes a report? I think it's ridiculous, but I want to see the report. And you know who want to see it? The tens of millions of people that love the fact that we have the greatest economy we've ever had. I'm going to Ohio right now. They were going to close the plant.
What?
It's where they make the tanks.
What?
It was going to be closed, and I stopped them from closing it.
He stopped
And now
them.
It's thriving and doing great.
Oh.
And the people of Ohio, they like Trump because I've done a great job in Ohio. And I've done a great job all over the country. That's what the people want to hear. What do you want to hear?
There's so much there that you could, I could do the whole 2 hours just on this one little minute and a half clip. Okay, there's so much there. First of all, let's deal with the end. The tank plant he went to. The tank plant he went to in Lima, Ohio, is a General Dynamics tank plant. They make the M1 Abrams and the 8x8 Stryker tank. Okay. That plant in 2012 was going to be shut down. Now, Trump was not president in 2012. It just seems like he's been president forever. I get it. But in 2012, he was not president, and Congress had come close to zeroing out the tank production during the Obama administration. Why was that? Well, because the Army Chief of Staff, General Ray Odierno, maybe you'll remember his name, Ray Odierno, anybody? Ray Odierno, Army Chief of Staff, I remember him. He testified in front of some congressional committees, and he was determined to close down the production of this tank. Here is what his testimony was. Quote, "We don't need the tanks." I don't think that's difficult to understand. "Our tank fleet is 2.5 years old on average, and we're in good shape, and these are additional tanks we don't need." He said he hoped the Army will spend its money elsewhere and that Congress will allow them to spend their money elsewhere. The Abrams tank played little role in fighting insurgents in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Army is up against budget caps. We are desperate to save money. We could save as much as $3 billion by halting M1 work between 2004 and 2018. And then in 2018, we could take another look at it and see whether or not we want to go back into production and produce more. Got that? Well, Ray Odierno, in his effort to save $3 billion, lost that fight. He lost that fight, and the Republican Congress decided to appropriate $183 million for the tanks. That was in 2013. Again, Trump was not president then. It just seems that way. And he said after Congress voted to add $183 million to the defense budget for tank production, he said, quote, if we had our choice, we would use that money in a different way, speaking on behalf of the Army. When 2016's budget hit, again, Trump was not president. The Obama administration requested $368 million for upgrades to the Abrams tank, which was an increase of 50% from fiscal year 2015 when Congress appropriated $237 million additional dollars. In 2017, our budget requested another $558 million. It's almost a half a billion dollars for tanks. That was how that plant is still there. So that little lie, I'm on my way to Ohio to visit a plant. That plant would have been closed if it wasn't for me. Ohio loves Trump. Ohio loves Trump. Lordstown hates you. And Lima was full of veterans, and he went there and, you know, gave him a whole speech about how he saved this plant, which they know is bull. And how John McCain sucks. And those veterans that, you know, a lot of the guys that work on these production lines are veterans. And they had their hands at their sides. They were like, oh, my God. Oh, wow. Everything people say. Randy's right. He's nuts. So that is a lie. He was going to the tank plant was true enough. But that he saved the tank plant is complete and utter bullcrap. You know what he did do, though? For General Dynamics. Like I said, we have been appropriating $183 million, following year $238 million for the production of tanks. That, the Secretary of the Army said, we don't need them. Our tanks were only 2 years old when they decided that they would keep on building tanks. And he goes, you know what? We should take that offline and we should reprogram the money for the tanks to other pressing needs that the Army has right now, save ourselves $3 billion. And the Republican Congress said no. No, because that's pork. Those are pork projects. That is why America is a nation at perpetual war, because of the military-industrial complex. And so they kept appropriating money to build more tanks that we don't use and we don't need. And they said, you know, just take a four-year pause. And by then, the tanks will be 6 to 8 years old and we can, you know, replace them then. In the meantime, okay, Congress said no. And then in the final appropriation, they appropriated almost a half a billion dollars to General Dynamics' Lima plant before Trump was president. Well, Trump comes moseying along, and he appropriates $1.5 billion for tanks. That's triple the amount that was unheard of before for tanks that we don't need. So he takes credit for saving that. That's complete and utter bullcrap. And then he starts talking about how the Mueller report is an illegitimate product. That's basically what he's saying. He's saying it's the bastard of all products, right? Because he didn't vet his first attorney general. He didn't vet Jeff Sessions. Remember extreme vetting? Donald J. Trump is calling for a complete and total shutdown on Muslim immigration until we can figure out what the hell is going on, right? Remember that? And he said he was for extreme vetting, which we already do. We've gone over that several thousand times on this here show about how the vetting begins in the refugee camps over there and how everything is done over there with regard to health and fingerprinting and optical scanning and photographing and questions and where did you come from and what are you fleeing and who the hell are you and who is your family, you know, and then we go and we check to see that their city was bombed out and they really did need to flee and that they haven't glommed onto fleeing refugees and that they didn't insert themselves into, right? And it takes 2.5 years. So we've already gone through the extreme vetting. However, back to Trump, he didn't believe in extreme vetting for anybody in his administration, which is why no one's there except for his children. Everyone's gone. He picked Jeff Sessions. He selected Jeff Sessions. And Jeff Sessions, when Al Franken asked Jeff Sessions, if it's true that you met with Russians or that anybody in the Trump administration met with Russians, what should we do? That was the question Al Franken asked. It wasn't confrontational. It wasn't you're a liar. It wasn't why are you making stuff up. It wasn't you're under oath, sir. It was if we find out that you met with Russians in your Senate office or anybody in the Trump administration met with Russians during the campaign, because at that time they were saying nobody had ever spoke to a Russian. Nobody had ever talked to a Russian. No one had contact with Russians. It was the whole thing was made up. And now we find out everybody had contact with Russians and everybody is looking for back channels with Russians and everybody is meeting, you know, over here and over there. Meetings are being organized by ex-pedophiles like George Nader in the Seychelles Islands with Eric Prince. And meetings are being, you know, maybe we should use the Russian embassy in New York right there on Fifth Avenue. And I mean, right. Trump is now saying that that the guy he picked to be the attorney general was a coward. Because he recused himself because he got caught having secret meetings with Kislyak in his Senate office, not at NRA conventions, not in public at the Republican National Committee, but privately in his own office. And also he, you know, knew that. And so he recused himself. Trump is now saying that this is, you know, that Sessions is a coward. And then he's intimating that somehow from thin air, Rod Rosenstein came along. A deputy, he calls him, right? He picked Rod Rosenstein. Donald Trump picked Rod Rosenstein. There was a Senate confirmation hearing for Rod. So he picked him also. And he picked the current attorney general, Bill Barr, who was also subject to a confirmation hearing in the Senate. Now, Rod Rosenstein was given information that made his hair catch fire, and he didn't do anything. But then Donald Trump fires James Comey, and like 5 minutes later, he reaches out to Mueller, and that's how we got a special counsel. So when you listen to him, just say these things. And I mean, if you don't know the facts or if you can't sort out like what he's talking, and if you don't remember that Sessions was his pick and Rod was his pick and Barr is his pick and all these things were subject to Senate confirmations that Republicans were in charge of because they still to this minute control the Senate. It makes no sense what he's saying. I mean, nothing makes sense.
Do you have a right to see the Mueller report?
I don't mind. I mean, frankly, I told the House, if you want, let them see it. Again, I say, a deputy, because of the fact that the attorney general didn't have the courage to do it himself, a deputy that's appointed appoints another man to write a report. I just won an election with 63 million votes or so.
A deputy who was appointed by you. A deputy who was appointed by you and confirmed by the Senate for you. For you it was done.
3 million.
And he's still reliving this crazy election of his.
In the Electoral College, 306.
Oh, my God.
To 223.
He's going to say it again.
And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. I just won one of the greatest elections of all time in the history of this country.
What?
And even you will admit that.
No one will admit
and
that.
And now I have somebody writing a report that never got a vote. It's called the Mueller report.
Wait a second.
So explain that, because my voters don't get it.
Your voters are idiots if they don't get that you picked Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions was confirmed by a Republican Senate to be your attorney general. He got caught. He got caught lying to the Senate about his interactions with Russians. And everyone on your campaign had interactions with Russians. And you got caught. That's where we're at. You picked Rod Rosenstein to take over this thing. Rod Rosenstein, you fired James Comey, and Rod Rosenstein went, oh, my God. And then you actually asked Rod Rosenstein, who you picked, to write a letter about how he felt about Comey's handling of the Hillary emails and that case. And Rod said he would have done it different. He wrote a really nasty letter about Comey shouldn't have done it the way he did it. And a lot of people agreed with Rod Rosenstein about his view of James Comey. And so he became, you know, the guy. So Trump says he relied on Rod Rosenstein's opinion and recommendation. It wasn't a recommendation. He was just asked to write what he thought about the way James Comey handled. And then he undoes what would have been a decent excuse, Rod Rosenstein's letter, by going on Lester Holt's show and saying to Lester Holt, regardless of recommendation, Rod Rosenstein's recommendation, I was going to fire Comey anyway. There is no good time to do it. I was going to fire him anyway because of this Russia thing, this Russia thing. That tape is kryptonite. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, everyone's on Mueller watch. I'm not really sure why. I think it has something to do with the fact that Mueller didn't order lunch today. I don't know.
All things Randy at randyrhodes.com.
Go for launch.
Speaking truth to power, the Randy Rhodes Show.
So when I won, I made my opening speech. Everyone shouting, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. I said, no, let's forget it. Let's get on to the future. But they have treated me so viciously. They have treated me so badly.
So we did nothing
wrong. You look at the others, and all of these people you hear about, that had nothing to do with Russia, Russia collusion, nothing. It's all a big hoax. It's a witch hunt and it's a hoax. So you ask me a question. It's a very interesting question. The way they've treated me, and we have found many crimes on the other side. These are stone-cold crimes, what they've done.
What crimes?
Between the deletion of 33,000 emails and many, many other things. Comey's lying, all of the Brennan lying, the lies to Congress. And these are just absolute lies to Congress. Clapper lied to Congress. Nobody does anything. If somebody, they all say Flynn, I don't know anything about what he said, but the FBI said he didn't lie. Mueller said he did lie. So what's that all about? And then they destroy a man who is a general and a respected man for many years. We have been treated very, very unfairly, all because Jeff Sessions didn't have a clue, okay?
And he recused himself. Will William Barr follow this? Will he see truth?
Look, I have a lot of respect for him. I've never known him. He's a very, very smart, respected man. Hopefully he'll do what's fair.
I've never known him. Again, he picked an attorney general that he refused to vet. He says, I've never known him, but he's my attorney general. How do you pick somebody to be the attorney general of the United States and couch that in an interview with Maria Bartiromo by saying, well, I don't know, our new attorney general, I don't know, I just nominated. It's because he wrote a letter that made him seem pro-Trump. Then Trump found out that he's best friends with Mueller. And so now he's hedging his bet on this Bill Barr dude. I don't know him. Never met him. I don't know him. Could be good, could be not good. But you picked him to be your attorney general. As for Flynn, the FBI says he didn't lie. Mueller says he did. I don't know what he said. And you ruined the life of a general? Mr. President, Michael Flynn pled guilty. Did somebody force him to do that too? What is that? Michael Flynn pled guilty. Manafort pled guilty to 10 financial crimes and to a conspiracy to defraud the United States. Rick Gates pled guilty. They're not done with Rick Gates. I don't know why everybody's on Mueller watch today, but the media is like breathless. I mean, breathless. Today is the day. Today is, could be not. When it happens, we're ready. Whatever, you know, comes down the pike, goes to the White House first. Trust me, there's going to be leaks, and it's going to go to Congress, and then we'll know. But, I mean, this is crazy. He's sitting there trying to prime the pump of the white supremacists who apparently still are enraptured and in love with this moral mess of a thing. He's not even a man. A real man. A real man is a special thing. A real man has integrity. A real man doesn't lie. A real man respects women. A real man respects himself. A real man doesn't blame everybody for his lot in life, especially when he's ripped off everyone and enriched himself and is sitting pretty on a gold toilet. That's not a real man. That is an imitation of life. That is somebody who thinks this is what life is, or how you act or behave. He thinks this is right because he doesn't feel anything. He has no moral compass. He is dead inside. He doesn't feel love. And now he's sitting there telling Maria Bartiromo that the reason why he wants Hillary investigated is because of revenge. He wants revenge because he believes the entire justice system that is headed by his appointees, his confirmed nominees, as somehow against him. And that Mueller, who was the head of the FBI for, 10 years under two presidents, is nobody. Only he is somebody because of the Electoral College, right? He is somebody because of the Electoral College. And who the hell is Mueller? He's nobody. And people, my voters, don't understand who he is. My voters don't get that he gets to write a report, and in that report he's going to say that I did bad things. And who the hell is he? My voters don't understand who he is. He's there because you fired the head of the FBI. Because he wouldn't make a loyalty pledge in that mafioso way that you conduct yourself to you over the rule of law. Hence his book, A Higher Loyalty. Okay? He wouldn't pledge that he would get your back if you violated the law. He wouldn't pledge that he would let Flynn go because Flynn was caught on intercepted conversations that routinely happen in our intelligence community with regard to Russian spies like Kislyak. And your man was talking to him. He was an incidental collection. He happened to be collected because he was talking to a known spy, for Pete's sake, for the love of Jesus. And his people say they don't understand this. They don't, you know, he's just, it's unbelievable. And they ruined Flynn's life. Flynn pled guilty. Gates pled guilty. In fact, you know, this is why I don't understand why we're on Mueller watch today, for real. You know, Rick Gates, they're not ready to sentence Rick Gates. They are ready to sentence Flynn, but Flynn's lawyers asked for a 90-day extension, and Mueller gave it to him. So apparently, you know, Flynn has cooperated enough, and they are ready to sentence Flynn, but Flynn's not ready to be sentenced, so Mueller has given him 90 days. Gates, obviously, they extended the period before they sentence him because there's still some more cooperating to do. And I don't know what that is. Do you? No, nobody does. But he's not ready. So that means Mueller's not done. Also, Roger Stone, okay, the vetting of the documents with regard to Roger Stone, like I said, they had like terabytes of data that Roger Stone's own attorneys asked for an extension on any prosecution that was going to occur with him because he had so much metadata. He had so much stuff on the cloud. He had so much stuff, you know, that he thought was hidden, like on WhatsApp and stuff like that, and on his Twitter feed and his direct messages and all, that they asked for an extension for discovery, meaning the turning over and the culling through of documents and data and emails and cloud material and things like that. So I don't know that he's done, but they're telling me he's done. I don't know how he could be. Then you got Roger Stone's guy, the one that used to book him on everybody's show, Andy Miller, that kid who's been held in contempt because he won't answer any question. I think Mueller still wants to talk to him, and the jury is out on whether or not you know, he's in contempt, right? Because that's a live case. There's a lot of moving parts here. I don't know that we're done, but you know, this is what Trump is preparing his voters for, is that Mueller is a non-appointed, that he's an appointed guy. But he was appointed by the Department of Justice. He was appointed by Donald Trump's own nominees who were confirmed by the U.S. Senate, the Republican-controlled Senate. I don't get this. How are we supposed to, like, sit there and say, you know, he's got a point? I mean, really, these arguments he makes are so bizarre. And now he's sitting there saying, and you know what I want Bill Barr to do? I want Bill Barr to sit on the Mueller report, obviously, while he's telling us, oh, you know, I don't mind if it comes out. Of course he minds if it comes out. This is just like, you know, Donald Trump saying, I didn't pay any women. You have to ask Michael Cohen about that. Michael Cohen is my attorney, right? On Air Force One, it's bad audio. It's always been bad audio, but everybody's seen it a million times, where a reporter asked Donald Trump, did you make $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels? He goes, no. No, I didn't. Well, Michael Cohen says you did. Yeah, well, you'll have to ask Michael Cohen about that because he's my attorney. I mean, you know, just sick stuff. Really, really crazy. And he's already starting to get people prepared to the tough guys, right? The 70-year-old biker dudes. I saw one last night. It's Florida. You know, and I wanted to... I sort of, you know, this is me. I just wanted to reach out to the 70-year-old biker dude. He had gray hair. It was all braided with one long, skinny, thinning ponytail. You know what I mean? The one long, skinny, ugly, looked like, what was that wrestler used to put rubber bands in his face? You know who I'm talking, who?
Captain Lou Albano.
Yeah, Captain Lou Albano. I mean, it was like that kind of grease. You know what I mean? Like you could smell it coming off of the guy. And he was really, really, really fat. I mean, just and on a little tiny, you know, he was on a Harley, but the Harley looked so small because he was so unworthy of sitting on it. I don't know how else to say it because it was a beautiful bike, you know. And I wanted to reach out to him. You know, I was sitting next to him at a light. And yes, it's a noisy machine and all that, but I'm an aircraft mechanic. Noise doesn't bother me, you know. And I wanted to say something to him, something nice. And I couldn't. I couldn't make myself. I was like, I could smell him from here. I know that's wrong. That's wrong, right? It is. It's wrong to judge somebody. I was very judgy. But I realized, you know, the guy was a Trumper. I mean, it's so weird. And these are his tough guys. And he's got the police. And I explained to you yesterday, you know, that we went through yesterday why we need to have, you know, what the conversation sounds like when you're having a real conversation about why this country owes a hell of a lot of change, institutional change to African Americans, American Indians, black and brown people, right? I was explaining to you yesterday, we were having a very difficult conversation yesterday to show you how to have a real conversation about reparations, about what it looks like. And it's not just a check. It's a change of all the institutional landmines that have been placed in the way of people. And we're all black now. I mean, everybody's black now. The whole 99% of us are black now. They don't want us to vote. None of us. They don't want us to, you know, do anything except go bankrupt. That's all they want from us. I mean, they forced us into bankruptcy in 2008. They're not done. They you know, he's got cuts to Social Security disability, for God's sake. He's got cuts to WIC, women and infant children. 6 million kids. He's got cuts to your EBT card. He's got cuts to, like I said, the disability check that I'm sure that biker collects. He's got almost $1 billion worth. Well, he's got more than $1 billion. He's got almost $1 trillion worth of cuts to Medicare. He's got multiple, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of cuts to Medicaid. I mean, this guy, he just wants everybody to be poor and destitute and sick. It's just he's just a twisted man. He's not done stealing from us. So, but anyway, I mean, he's already setting up for some sort of confrontation, a violent one. This is why he says, I got the tough people. I got the police. That freaked me out. I got the military. Well, you don't have me. You don't have Iraq and Afghanistan vets. You don't have the votevets.org vets. You don't I mean, who do you have? You don't have my dad's generation because of what you just did to McCain. I mean, you have... But he's trying very hard to spark violence in this country over this Mueller report. And I just need everybody to have the information that you need to debunk all this crap about you know, Mueller was appointed by a guy who was appointed by you.
To speak to Randy, call 561-270-3844. 561-270-3844.
It's unbelievable how Hillary Clinton got away with the email lie, the email scam, the email corruption.
She should have been disqualified for running for president from the first batch of emails.
We know Hillary can't be trusted. We've learned that. With America's security, you take a look at her email situation. Can we trust her with our security?
If were a Republican that did what she did with the emails, they would have been in jail 12 months ago.
I guarantee you one thing. We're going to be talking about those emails every moment of every day.
He wasn't kidding, right? Well, turns out Ivanka is using her private email as well. Turns out Jared is using WhatsApp, an encrypted, messaging system. I use WhatsApp, tell you the truth. It's got this crazy reputation of not being traceable or trackable. I think it is. I just got to tell you, I think it is. They protect your privacy a little bit more than a lot of messaging systems do. But now they're owned by Facebook. Facebook bought WhatsApp. So, Facebook just posted like everybody's passwords in plain text. So people at Facebook, working at Facebook, if they want to look at Jared's WhatsApp, they have his login information. I mean, this is just crazy. This is ridiculous. This whole thing about it's so secret and it's so incredible. I use WhatsApp because a lot of the messaging systems that we use in this country don't go internationally. But WhatsApp does. The whole world uses WhatsApp. That's a dirty little secret that anybody who doesn't have a passport doesn't know. But everybody who does have a passport knows that because we all have WhatsApp. But Ivanka, when Ivanka got popped using her personal email, she sounded an awful lot like Hillary Clinton. Here's a little refresher.
All of my emails.
All of my work-related emails.
That relate to any form of government work.
Providing anything that could be connected to work.
Are all part of the public record.
In the public domain.
They're all stored.
Automatically saved.
On the White House system.
In the State Department system.
So everything has been preserved, everything's been archived.
To be captured.
I would then just forward it to my work account.
At a .gov account.
That is the protocol.
That was my obligation.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
I fully fulfilled it.
Nor was there anything of substance, nothing confidential.
There is no classified material.
There really is no equivalency.
You're fired.
Both of you. Both of you, you're fired. I mean, they sound identical. Identical, okay? And Donald Trump is sitting there saying that Ivanka is completely innocent and Hillary is completely guilty.
On Ivanka's emails, why was it appropriate for your daughter personal email for
just so you
business.
Understand early on and for a little period of time Ivanka did some emails they weren't classified like Hillary Clinton. They weren't deleted like Hillary Clinton, who deleted 33. She wasn't doing anything to hide her emails. I looked at it just very briefly today, and the presidential records, they're all in presidential records. There was no hiding, there was no deleting like Hillary Clinton did. There was no service in the basement like Hillary Clinton had. You're talking about a whole different, you're talking about all fake news.
Okay, so when Ivanka does it, it's okay. When Hillary does it, lock her up. Now, of course, I have servers here. I don't think I'm breaking any laws. You know, it's just, wow. It's just, it's an amazing thing that's going on here, really. But he sat down with Maria Bartiromo to complain endlessly about what is, going to happen sooner or later, this Mueller report, and insisting that his attorney general, Bill Barr, investigate Hillary Clinton and not investigate Ivanka for doing the same damn thing that Hillary Clinton did, and that's using a private server, but forwarding anything that was government work to the .gov address so that those records could be preserved under the requirements of the Presidential Records Act, because that's what we're talking about here. He doesn't even know, but the crime that would have been investigated is whether or not Hillary Clinton was giving classified information to foreign adversaries wittingly, intentionally, with the intent to provide foreign governments, not necessarily adversaries, but foreign governments, with classified information that they were not entitled to see. Well, obviously that was investigated for more than a year, and the answer was no. And the emails that she had sent on private servers were forwarded, just like Ivanka did, to a .gov server so that they could be preserved under the Presidential Records Act. Now, Donald Trump is in violation of the Presidential Records Act 80 billion ways. 80 billion ways. You know, he met privately with Sergei Kislyak and Sergei Lavrov in the Oval Office right after he fired Comey. And there's the famous photo of all three of them laughing their asses off after he told them that he fired that nut job Comey and that should end the Russia investigation, right? There was no American, and it's called a note taker, and I know people scoff at that word because it sounds so 1920s or 30s or 50s, but that is what the person who is a court reporter, or a translator does. They take notes. Well, there was no note taker. And then when he met in Hamburg privately with Vladimir Putin, there was a translator. And that translator was threatened by Donald Trump. Give me the notes. And that, the story goes that Donald Trump destroyed the notes of the translator. Well, I'm sure the translator needs to be, if Mueller hasn't spoken to the translator, I'm sure he wants to or will or has. Okay, so that's the Presidential Records Act, and Donald Trump keeps violating it. Now enter Jared. Jared, who decided to defend himself in the newspapers yesterday by having his felon father vouch for him. That was hysterical. That was just amazing. And Charles Kushner is the head of Kushner Industries, a diversified real estate portfolio, whatever that is. Because it sounds so much better than Charles Kushner hired a prostitute to seduce his brother, videotaped it, and sent that tape to his sister-in-law to obstruct justice. It just sounds better. But that's what he did. He put an op-ed in the paper to vouch for his son. So the only one who will vouch for Jared is his father, who's a felon. I mean, it's just such a sick family. So now Jared gets caught. Jared gets caught using WhatsApp as a back channel. And the Oversight Committee would like to look into that. And if you were for James Comey and the FBI investigating Hillary Clinton, even if you didn't like the result, then you should be for Jared Kushner and his communications on WhatsApp, whether or not he's putting that into the Presidential Records Act. Now, I will say what's really interesting is Kushner's lawyer, Jared and Ivanka have the same lawyer, Abby Lowell. I won't say anything about you, Abby. Loser. Just saying. But David Cicilline from Rhode Island, he actually said that Abby Lowell did not deny. In fact, he said when he was asked by the Oversight Committee in a private conversation whether or not Jared Kushner was sending classified information to various, foreign nations, Saudi Arabia, Abby Lowell said that was above his pay grade. He couldn't answer that question. He didn't deny that Jared Kushner was sending information to foreign countries on WhatsApp, which would be a violation of the Presidential Records Act, okay? And could be easily found out because, like I said, Facebook owns WhatsApp now, and they know his login information.
Abby Lowell is not denying that Jared Kushner used the app to transmit classified information. He's not even denying that. And yeah, obviously the context
here...
I mean,
that was the...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that was the most alarming part. When he was pressed, well, was classified information shared in this way? He said, oh, that's above my pay grade. So he didn't deny it. So now we have the very real potential that some of the most secretive classified information that Jared Kushner perhaps shouldn't have had access to begin with,
right,
is now being shared with foreign leaders in an unsafe way and in for a purpose that is unclear. So this is very serious. This is not just about the personal behavior of Jared Kushner. It's about protecting the national security interests of our country.
Is this something, so obviously it's been reported that officials from at least four countries viewed Kushner as manipulatable. Right? Those include the United Arab Emirates, Russia, China. We know he communicated, according to our reporting on this and perhaps other apps, with the Saudi Crown Prince, right? President of the United States taking the Crown Prince's side over that of the CIA in that horrific murder. What happens here from this? I mean, because it would seem if you're using WhatsApp, whether you're screen grabbing some of it or not, or all of it, we don't know. The message you're sending to the other party is that you're willing to do something secret, because otherwise you wouldn't be using WhatsApp.
That's right. And don't forget, there's also the issue of the company that saved Jared Kushner's property on Fifth Avenue is now attempting to sell nuclear technology to the Saudis. So there's a lot of reason to be concerned about what is actually being shared, what's the reason for it, why is it being kept secret? And, you know, one of the reasons that the intelligence and law enforcement communities raise concerns about the security clearances is because they worry that people can be compromised, that they have some motivation to advance their own personal interests rather than the national security interests of the country. And so they limit who can get a security clearance to those people they can have confidence will protect these secrets of the United States that are essential to protect our national security. There are real questions about both Jared Kushner and Ivanka's, right, Trump's ability to get these security clearances, and now his willingness to secretly share information with foreign leaders, and we don't know what that information is. This is an absolutely critical area of oversight. Mr. Cummings' committee, yeah, and other committees of jurisdiction will get to the bottom of it.
And of course,
right. And you know, if you were into and advocating for Hillary Clinton's emails to be looked through, then you should be open and honest with yourself and say Jared's got to be looked into. Jared, you know, why is he texting the Saudi freaking murderer? Why is he doing that? Why does he have a security clearance? Why does she have a security clearance? Obviously, they're not qualified for either of their jobs. You know, Jared Kushner, when his father, was in jail, Jared Kushner decided that he would go out and buy a whole bunch of buildings. Even in the op-ed where his felon father was defending him, he said, oh, well, Jared was in charge of acquisitions for the Kushner companies, which means Jared was buying buildings. You know, if I had billions of dollars at my disposal, too, I might be buying buildings. Doesn't mean I'm a genius, just means I have access to large amounts of cash that my family has, and real estate is always a good investment, so I'm going to go buy buildings. But your moron son bought 666 Fifth Avenue at the height of the market for over $1 billion, and then the market crashed, and you had this massive freaking loan to pay off. So that's why he didn't get a security clearance, and yet Donald Trump gives him one. Over the objections of law enforcement, over the objections of John Kelly, over the objections of Don McGahn, the White House counsel, over the objections of the intelligence community. And these two guys in the White House who were privy to all of this wrote contemporaneous memos like Comey did at the time, you know, memorializing this odd decision by Donald Trump to go ahead over the objections of the intel community, over the objections of law enforcement, over the objections of General John Kelly, over the objections of White House counsel Don McGahn, whose job as White House counsel is to protect the presidency, not the president, but the actual institution. He said, do not give Jared a security clearance. It will, you know, it'll harm the, somehow, you know, he felt there was a security threat to the institution of the White House, and he recommended no. And Donald Trump does it anyway. And now we find out he's still trying to set up back channels.
There's only one reason people use this app, particularly in other parts of the world where there is heavy scrutiny. And I can say, certainly my experience in the Middle East, people use it because they don't want it to be traced. That's why people use it. What's your reaction when you hear Jared Kushner was using it?
Well,
and communicating with the Saudi Crown Prince.
Right?
I'm sorry. And the Saudi Crown Prince,
right,
we understand, is one of the people he's,
right,
communicating with.
Right. This may well be a violation of the Presidential Records Act, but this is very serious. We should remember Jared Kushner was alleged to have tried to attempt to set up a back communication with the Russians during the transition, if you remember that reporting.
We also know that
both Ivanka and Jared were denied, or serious questions were raised by the intelligence and law enforcement communities about their security clearance. The president overruled those objections and directed that they be given, and then lied about it. And now we know about communications with foreign leaders that may be untraceable. This is very concerning. Not only is it potentially a violation of the Records Act, but it also raises questions about what is he communicating about and why does it need to be kept secret? What are these communications about, and why is he concerned that they not be shared with in normal government channels? So Mr. Cummings' request is a reasonable one. The Oversight Committee has responsibility to figure out what's going on here, to make sure this practice ends, and to make sure the national security of the interests of the United States have not been compromised in this process.
So that's the deal. That's the deal with Jared and his WhatsApp and the Prince of Saudi Arabia. Okay, here's some breaking news. This is according to Ellen Nakashima of the Washington Post. The House Judiciary Committee is told to expect notification by 5 p.m., which is 20 seconds from now, that the Mueller report has been delivered to the Attorney General Bill Barr. 8 seconds. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3... 2. Delivered.
Mary had a little man.
The fault.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe me.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey.
It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
For himself. But at the same time, Wolf, we heard the president returning to many of those same talking points that we've heard over and over again, part of that strategy.
Can I interrupt you, Jim Acosta? Right now, I want to go to Evan Perez. He's got the breaking news that we've been waiting for.
That's right, Wolf. The word is in. The Justice Department is telling us that Attorney General Bill Barr has now received the report from Special Counsel Robert Mueller. The investigation, 675 days old, is now over. So obviously this is a big moment for this White House. This is an investigation that has hung over the presidency of Donald Trump since the beginning, obviously. And so now the question is, what is in that report? We expect that Bill Barr is going to be reviewing what Bob Mueller found in his investigation, and then we'll tell Congress exactly what he can tell them. We expect that this is essentially going to be a Bill Barr report. It's something that's going to be much less than what Robert Mueller provided in his investigation. Let's step back a little bit and talk about this investigation. This has been, by all accounts, one of the most fruitful investigations. If you compare it to just an average Justice Department investigation, let's go through that. 37 defendants, including 6 Trump associates who've been charged with crimes as a result of this investigation. We have 5 people who have been sentenced to prison so far, and 16 Trump associates at least have been shown to have contacts with Russians as a result during the campaign or during the transition. Again, this is what Robert Mueller was tasked with investigating as a result of the interference in the 2016 election. Obviously now we have to turn the page to is the fact that this is not a normal investigation. The big question has been whether or not there was an actual any evidence of collusion between people associated with the Trump campaign and Russians, whether the president was aware of any of that, whether there was any conspiracy to throw essentially the 2016 election. So far, Robert Mueller has not charged that in any of the cases that have been made public. So the question is there something related to collusion in the report that Robert Mueller has now turned in to Bill Barr, the Attorney General? Is there any proof or evidence of a...
All right. That is live reporting from CNN. Mueller has just finished. Wow, I can't believe it. Mueller has finished, and he has given his report to the Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr, who I believe wanted to be Attorney General of the United States yet again because of the Time Warner merger, which happened. So now we have to wait. I don't know if we'll see anything today. I don't know if it's going to be. I mean, this is like, induced labor, induced labor. How many centimeters am I dilated? How many? Oh, my God. This is worse than, being a young child waiting for Christmas morn. For the white Santa Claus to come and bring you a pony. This is really a momentous moment. Now, I don't know what people who listen to this show, I mean, I know what the majority of us want to see in this report. But here's the thing I'm concerned about. Will we see this report? Already you have Manu Raju or Evan Perez right there reporting that it's going to be the Bill Barr report. And, you had an editorial today in the New York Times written by James Comey, and he's saying what he wants from the Mueller report is the Mueller report, right? He says he's not rooting for an impeachment because he believes that it would tear this country from limb to limb and it would get ugly and violent. He actually wrote, I do have one hope that I should confess. I hope that Mr. Trump is not impeached and removed from office before the end of his term. I don't mean that Congress shouldn't move ahead with the process of impeachment governed by our Constitution if Congress thinks the provable facts are there. I just hope it doesn't, because if Mr. Trump were removed from office by Congress, a significant portion of this country would see this as a coup, and it would drive those people farther from the common center of American life, more deeply fracturing our country. Well, that's true enough. So I want everybody to prepare for whatever is in there. Because if it's in there that Donald Trump is somebody who, torched the institutions of justice, that he obstructed at every turn, if it's in there that, he did conspire with, foreign adversaries in order to enrich himself, information about his opponent, Hillary Clinton, and that he did it by any means necessary, and that he, is a criminal, basically, that he's a traitor, that he committed acts of sedition, whatever it is, but Mueller feels that he can indict a sitting president, or maybe he feels I don't know. Prepare yourself. Just prepare yourself, because whatever happens, even if Mueller doesn't, say that the president did any of these things, this country is about to go into fits. It is. It's going to be a little crazy. Now, I just want the justice system to work. That's what everybody should want, is that this justice system of ours works. And that it works because people did the hard work. People looked at evidence. People, talked to, cooperators, and they talked to, others who, felt that something bizarre was going on in the 2016 election. So prepare yourself, because here it comes. And I don't know if we get, maybe we get one last weekend and this is it. What will I wear? Of course, cute shoes, everybody, because if the rapture comes, we're just going to be lifted out of our, and all that's going to be left behind is, your adorable shoes. Michael in California.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, Michael.
Jeez, I've been sitting here and you made the announcement. I'm like, my mind's just fried.
I know. How do you think I feel? I mean.
Well, I am just as scared now as I was.
Yeah, I am
at
too.
The election time. This is really big. But what I wanted to talk about was all of the Democratic candidates that we have out there, plethora. We were complaining a couple of years ago about not having a new face of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
But that having young people. We've got it, folks.
Yeah, we do. We have an amazing assortment of people. Whatever floats your boat, you got something. You got something in there. You've got a brilliant guy who speaks multiple languages in Pete Buttigieg. You've got Beto. You've got Kamala Harris. You've got Kirsten Gillibrand. You got Julian Castro. We got Hickenlooper. Biden is going to throw in, listen, warning to Stacey Abrams. I just want to tell Stacey Abrams, you can do this on your own. And I also want to tell Joe Biden, you can do this on your own. You know, let's not be presumptuous or insulting to large swaths of this country by, you know, picking a younger African-American woman right out of the gate. You don't know what the issues are going to be. And the idea of a vice presidential candidate being announced is to refresh the candidate after a year and a half of campaigning, right?
Right. Well, I was never a big Bernie Sanders fan or follower.
You see, and I love Bernie.
Well, I know, but he did bring a lot of stuff to the table in 16, and that stuff is still on the table.
Well, for me, you know, I can't make up my mind until I make up my mind, and the primaries haven't even really begun. We haven't even had one debate, so of course I'm not picking. I'm not going to pick. I usually don't pick in the primary out loud unless I have to. But, you know, I wasn't around for the primary last time. You have to remember, we launched this show after the primaries were all said and done. And I did that because I had cancer, actually, and partly by design, you know. So I was relieved that I could launch the show and we already had our nominee, and it was Hillary Clinton, and that was that. But the rules have changed, thank God, in the Democratic Party. You know, the superdelegates do not get to pick our candidate any longer. The first round at the Democratic National Committee does not include the votes of the superdelegates. So we really do get to pick from all these extraordinary people with very diverse views and very diverse lives and very interesting things that they all bring to the table. So just, you know, take your time. Make sure that whatever you do, when you do fall in love, don't trash somebody else's love. You know, you don't point at someone, like, you don't be a Donald Trump. Donald Trump is trashing Kellyanne Conway's husband, right? And look how ugly that is. Don't do that.
Well, the other day when Trump was meeting with the president or gave a press conference with the president of Brazil, did you notice they're both sitting in the same man spread position? I mean, he was mimicking Trump. I mean, and the other thing,
you know,
is,
what's really disgusting about Trump? Okay, you have farmers who've just been hit by you know, these massive floods as a result of this you know, bomb cyclone that happened, and the spring thaw hasn't even begun. The Missouri River is like up to their eyeballs. Their crops are ruined. Their silos full of soybeans that are just sitting there because of his stupid trade war are now ruined. Right? They're rescuing their cattle. They're dropping bales of hay to try and keep them alive. You know, I mean, it's a nightmare. And the reason why they're sitting on all this soybean is because of his stupid, stupid trade war with China. So here he is sitting next to the president of Brazil. Guess where China took its business, its soybean business? Brazil. And the farmers who are sitting there must have been furious, furious. And guess where he's taking the money to build his stupid wall from disaster relief? I mean, honestly.
Well, it's a fact. I mean, it's a given fact. Everything the man says is the opposite of the truth.
Yeah.
And when he said he wanted to release the report, bullshit.
Oh, I know.
Absolutely.
If he wanted to release the report, it could be out right now.
Yeah.
Because
Happy
he
Friday.
Could, thank you. You too. Because what he could do right now is tell Bill Barr, just release it. Just send it over to Congress. Messenger it over to Congress right now. Give it to Nancy Pelosi. Give it to Mitch McConnell. Right now. He could do that. He doesn't want this thing out. They're going through it right now, and they're going to write some sort of an excuse note for whatever's in there. Now, there are people who are praying right now, seriously, praying right now, that there's no, that he didn't do anything wrong, that he just didn't do anything wrong, that he didn't, you know, abandon the rule of law throughout this campaign. Whatever it is that's in that report, we need to see it, and it needs to be, what's the word? It needs to be, I don't know if this is a word or not. Is this a word? Undistortable? Do you know what I'm driving at? It needs to be clear, crystal clear. It can't be distorted. It can't be you know, mealy-mouthed. It can't be, you know, like, well, you know, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. The people around him, though, they were bad. No, it has to be completely clear, yes or no. Yes or no. That's why I don't want it from another party. I don't want it from Bill Barr. I don't want Bill Barr's interpretation of the Constitution of Mueller. I want the Constitution of Mueller. I want what Mueller put pen to paper and wrote down. We all know the president is a chronic liar. We all know he's attacked this investigation 1,000,000,000 times. This report has to be crystal clear.
The Randy Rhodes Show is live on RandyRhodes.com and the free Progressive Voices app for Android and iOS. Visit the App Store or ProgressiveVoices.com now.
Jeremy in Los Angeles.
Hey, so here we are 2 years later,
yeah.
Millions of dollars in, and no direct connection to Russia. So my question for you is this.
Wait, how do you know that?
How do we know that? Look at the people that have been tried and convicted for crimes that are unrelated because they were swept up in a big dragnet, which is, hey, they committed illegal crimes, committed crimes. They're paying the price.
Yeah, but those things were not, you know, those crimes were given away by Mueller to SDNY, to DC, to prosecute.
Randy,
Mueller didn't prosecute those.
Randy, there's no indictment for Trump's orbit with regard to Russia. What are you going to do when you find out people like Jimmy Dore, Tulsi Gabbard, and others have been right all along because they've been paying attention to the evidence, not the speculation?
The evidence? What evidence? What have they seen that I haven't seen?
These people
listen to are making crap up all day, every day, because they know nothing more or less than I know.
The truth is that
there is no truth.
The
truth is there is no truth yet.
No.
The truth is that the report has just been given to the Attorney General. The truth is that right now the Judiciary Committee is being briefed on the report. The truth is that the report seems to be comprehensive. That's all we know. The truth is that Tulsi Gabbard doesn't know what Mueller's investigating. And the truth is that neither does that stupid comedian who thinks that we're going to war in Venezuela. I mean, he's a lunatic. Yeah, I'm serious. All right, so the Justice Department just sent a brief letter that Mueller has submitted a confidential report to Bill Barr detailing the decisions his team made to prosecute or not prosecute the people that were investigated. Now, Bill Barr is saying he might provide Congress with the special counsel's principal conclusions as soon as this weekend. Somebody inside the Justice Department described the report as, just as I told the caller, comprehensive. Sarah Sanders says the White House has not seen Mueller's findings. But of course, you know, comedians with podcasts and a Hawaiian congresswoman, she's seen it. And they've known it all this time. Okay, good. Then they're clairvoyant. The next steps are obviously up to Barr, and the process is going to have to take its course. The White House apparently has not been briefed on the report. That's according to Sarah Sanders, but, you know, she's a liar, too. So we don't know if she was sat down and briefed for 4 hours. We have no idea. But this is just the end of a very dramatic chapter in the presidency of one Donald Trump. We did see numerous indictments. We did see a lot of guilty pleas by his campaign manager, by his deputy campaign manager, by our national security advisor, a recusal by his attorney general. So, you know, there's a lot of fallout, and there's going to be a very, very tense time over this weekend. Did you say you had a letter?
I'm trying to get it so you can read it.
Well, where is it? Rudy in Arizona.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Randy,
yep.
You rock.
I know.
You rock. We love you. We need you. Thank you for being there.
Yeah.
I'm in Arizona, you know, and we're proud to be stupid out here. And I went to a gun show last weekend. And, Randy, it was unbelievable. They were like rabid dogs. Everybody was just jammed. And I'm going to go tomorrow. There's another one tomorrow just to see how much it's changed. But I've got these off of one of these guys' website. Here's what they talk about. Thankfully, we're so highly armed, there will be a massacre. Another one. We're the patriots. We're not afraid to bleed a little if we can take care of the problem. And this is the best one. Robert Mueller is hitting levels of faggotry that shouldn't be possible.
Oh, my God.
It might not bode so well for him when the right-wing junta inevitably replaces the Democratic state. Yeah, I love the chick. It's serious. Get prepared, people. I love you, babe. Thanks.
Well, the gun shows are always off the hook. I mean, I you know, two of my neighbors, I won't name them, David, have to go to gun shows. They go to gun shows because they sell other things, not guns. I'll just give you an example. One of my neighbors is a watch representative. He represents a very large watch company. And so he goes to the gun shows. He has to go to gun shows. He, you know, and the people that go are rabid. They're impolite, they're insecure, they're rabid, they get in your face, they're nasty, but, you know, the trick to it is to go there and take their money. You know what I mean? That's the trick. That's what they do, and not sell a gun. And that's kind of what my friends do when they, you know, because Florida's full of gun shows every 10 seconds. But anyway, okay, so here's the letter that Bill Barr wrote. This is to Lindsey Graham, the Senate Judiciary Chairman. Dianne Feinstein, the ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Gerald Nadler, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee in the House, and Doug Collins, the ranking member. You know Doug Collins. He's the one that's always interrupting and screaming and yelling that he's going to sell popcorn when somebody testifies and he doesn't like what they're testifying to. Anyway, this is a letter that they all got. Dear Chairman Graham, Nadler, ranking member Feinstein, and ranking member Collins, I write to notify you that pursuant to, and he names the statute, that Special Counsel Robert Mueller III has concluded his investigation of Russian interference in the 2016 election and related matters. In addition to this notification, the Special Counsel regulations require that I provide you with, quote, a description, an explanation of instances, if any, in which the Attorney General or Acting Attorney General, quote, concluded that a proposed action by a special counsel was so inappropriate or unwarranted under established departmental practices that it should not be pursued. There were no such instances during the special counsel investigation. You following that? He's citing a statute that requires that the Attorney General of the United States has to provide Congress with a description and an explanation of any at any time if the special counsel was inappropriate or the special counsel was not needed or the special counsel was not warranted. He said there were no such instances during the special counsel's investigation. All right. The special counsel has submitted to me today, quote, a confidential report explaining the prosecution or declination decisions. A declination decision is declining to prosecute. The special counsel has submitted to me today a confidential report explaining the prosecution or declination decisions he has reached as required by, names the statute. I am reviewing the report and anticipate that I may be in a position to advise you of the special counsel's principal conclusions as soon as this weekend. Separately, I intend to consult with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and Special Counsel Mueller to determine what other information from the report can be released to Congress and the public consistent with the law, including the special counsel regulations and the department's longstanding practices and policies. Okay, that means he's going to submit hundreds of pages. I remain committed to as much transparency as possible, and I will keep you informed as to the status of my review. Finally, the special counsel regulations provide that the Attorney General may determine that the public release of this notification would be in the public interest. I have so determined, and I will disclose this letter to the public after delivering it to you. So all he's agreeing to so far is that Robert Mueller did not act inappropriately. His appointment was not unwarranted, that there are some principal conclusions about why he's declining to prosecute. Now, I would imagine that if indeed the president has committed at least a campaign finance violation, which we know he did, that Robert Mueller is declining to prosecute because he believes that the Office of Legal Counsel's rule that says a sitting president can't be indicted is the rule he has to abide by. That would be in a declination of indicting the president. That would be his reason for not indicting the president. And I just want to tell the people out there that listen to, you know, left-wing lunatics who also happen on our side. I mean, I've been doing this so long. I've seen every style, every, you know, opinion that comes down the pike. But that's all that these things are with regard to those people who have determined that Robert Mueller was unwarranted. You're now wrong. I would caution you not to listen to people who say that Robert Mueller has been inappropriate, because that is wrong. I would caution you to understand that the president, of course, violated the law, because we have the checks that Michael Cohen produced, 11 of them, that the president wrote in the Oval Office while he was president to Michael Cohen to cover up an affair he had, which was considered a campaign in-kind contribution that violates the law. But Robert Mueller probably will decline to prosecute the president based on that piece of information. Now, if there are really crimes against the government, if there are really, you know, crimes of conspiracy, and then he declines to prosecute because he believes that that's the rule, he will say that as well. Beth in California.
Hi, Randy.
Hey.
I am so glad you are on the air. Oh, my God. I've missed you. I love you. And you're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
So anyway, I wanted to ask, okay, so Jared Kushner bought that 666 building in Manhattan during the crash, right?
Right.
Do you think that maybe he got it for money laundering, like father-in-law, before Obama signed the Magnitsky Act?
I have no idea.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Well, see, that's the thing, is we don't know what we don't know. And I won't tell you that I know what I don't know. Other people will tell you that they know what they don't know, and they will insist that they know. And all they're doing is they're placing a bet that is a 50-50 bet. That's it. That's all they're doing.
True.
And I don't do that. I don't play that way. I want people to have real information. And up until this point, the only information we had were pieces of information in indictments. We do know Robert Mueller indicted Russians, lots of them, you know, in a massive indictment. That thing, I still have it. It's in that box right there. Those are all the indictments in that little cardboard box right there. Okay? And he told us how the Russians hacked. He told us that Roger Stone was in touch with WikiLeaks. Roger Stone told us he was in touch with WikiLeaks. So, you know what I mean? It's like you have to pay attention to the facts, to the provable facts. And that's all we can do. So if you're asking me, did he do it because maybe he thought he could launder money from this country or that? I don't know.
Okay.
What I do know is that the intelligence community and the law enforcement community told the president of the United States that Jared Kushner was blackmailable and that he was in debt up to his eyeballs, which made him vulnerable to foreign intervention, to selling secrets to foreign governments, and therefore should not get a security clearance. And he said that they said the same thing about Ivanka. And yet the president, who is legally entitled to do so, gave them a security clearance. That's what we know.
Okay.
And what we also know is that Jared Kushner is texting the king of the prince of Saudi Arabia, and multiple people have been killed by the prince of Saudi Arabia. That is what we know. So anybody who wants to say this is all bullcrap and there's no foreign interference, you didn't read the indictment of the Russians. You're not paying attention to Jared. You're not paying attention to Khashoggi's murder. You're not paying attention to anything except your own damn self. And you know that people like conspiracy theories, and so that's what you peddle, except you do it from the left. It's a sick business model, and you know it. You got former intelligence operatives. You got Clint Watts warning the United States. You got Malcolm Nance warning the United States. You got people of stature and experience and loyalty to this country telling you everyone's hair's on fire.
This is the Randy Rhoads Show. To speak with Randy, dial 561-270-3844. That's 561-270-3844.
I had one of the greatest election victories in history. Would you say that's true?
Yes, absolutely.
They came from the valleys, they came from the rivers, they came from the cities, they came from all over. They voted in one of the greatest elections in the history of our country. And now I have a man that, because we have an attorney general who nobody can even believe that he didn't tell me, but he recused himself. So I have a man who is a deputy who I don't know, who I didn't know at all.
Oh, my God.
And he appoints a man who had just left my office. I didn't give him the job at the FBI. Comey's his best friend.
No, we covered everything.
This man is crazy. I mean, that's not going to go away. But Neil Katyal, who wrote the special prosecutor regulation that they're quoting in Bill Barr's letter, he just tweeted 8 tweets. And this is good advice. These are the rules for what's about to happen. He said, 1, believe only the text of the report. Do not believe other people's characterizations of it. This White House is going to spin up or down what's in this report, just like Nunes did, you know, with the wiretaps and right? Okay. Ask what the scope of the report is. Is it just a conspiracy? Or does it include, for example, campaign finance violations, where federal Southern District of New York prosecutors have said the president ordered a commission of felonies? Okay? We have to look and see, like, what... All right, third thing. And, oh, he says, here's like the little addendum to the second thing. He said, ask what the scope of the report is. Is it just a conspiracy with Russia, or does it include, for example, the campaign finance allegations where federal Southern District of New York prosecutors have said the president ordered the commission of felonies? It's almost never happened in American history that federal prosecutors have said that a sitting president orchestrated the commission of felonies. Number 3, examine whether the report is limited to criminal acts. Some of the most egregious allegations against Trump, like lying to the American people about his business dealings with Russia before the 2016 election, saying that he had no business in Russia, are not necessarily criminal. They are impeachable. Others, like being beholden to the Kremlin out of self-interest, may be. Has Mueller only resolved the latter? If not, expect Congress to take that up. Number 4, ask whether Mueller has actually resolved anything. He has said that there are other avenues to investigate for matters within the scope of his report. he never had a sit down with Trump. Again, Congress may investigate further, but don't forget about state prosecutors. See, this is what I was trying to tell, you know, the caller that was trying to defend somebody who claims to have information that no one on this planet has. You know, that he knows what's in this report and he's always known what's in this. It's impossible. It's just, it's made up stuff, okay? But don't forget that the state prosecutors were the people who were called upon to prosecute criminal activity, financial crimes, campaign finance violations, lying to Congress, lying to the FBI. That was farmed out to state prosecutors, right? Manafort, you know, he was brought in guilty on 8 counts of financial crimes, and then he pled guilty to 10 other counts in another trial, right? Ask yourself, this is number 5, ask yourself if the American people knew in 2016 whatever it is that Mueller report says, even if the report says Mueller won't indict the president, would Trump have won the election? Does this president have the judgment and transparency appropriate to serve as the nation's highest official? Do not focus on one line spin. Focus on the report, the facts in it, the judgments, and the limitations in the Mueller report. And ask yourself, if Trump had just been honest and forthcoming about all of this, would we have him as a president? Those are good you know, pieces of advice from Neil Katyal, who wrote the special prosecutor regulations. Here's another another piece that just came out by Eli Honig. Eli Honig is a state and federal prosecutor. He's a legal analyst. He's also he teaches at Rutgers University. He's a scholar at Rutgers. And this is what he said: 6 key questions for you. 1, what will Mueller say? See, this is why anybody who's been on the air for all these 22 months, who's telling you that they know something, that there's no way that anybody could know, not a state prosecutor, not a federal prosecutor, not the guy who wrote the they're so full of crap, I can't stand it. It really does bother me because, you know, when it happens on the right, it's easy. It's easy because they include all kinds of racist memes. They include all kinds of, you know, immigrants. You know what I mean? And they're vile. But when it happens on the left, they do it under the auspices of, oh, we're free thinkers and we're just, but they pretend to know stuff that they can't possibly know. And they do it because there's an audience there. There's an audience for conspiracy theories. There's an audience for this QAnon theory that Mueller was appointed in the first place to exculpate Donald Trump. And that's what these Q people are sitting around doing. And that's what these left-wing lunatics who give their airtime to every person who has no facts, who claims to have facts. That's why they sully the reputation of people like us who work so freaking hard to read the indictments, to understand the timeline here and what really happened. And many, many freaking laws were broken. And they were broken by the President of the United States. They were broken by the President of the United States' attorney. They were broken by our national security advisor. They were broken by the campaign manager. They were broken by the deputy campaign manager. They were broken by the Attorney General of the United States. Sorry, I have an issue with that. I'm not going to sit there and feed my own ego by saying I'm clairvoyant and I know. Oh, God, it's ridiculous. Anyway, here's what Eli Honig says the 6 key questions are. What will Mueller say? He said the special counsel regulations require that Mueller file with the attorney general a confidential report. That has happened, so we're going to skip that. Apparently, he did write a detailed narrative. I don't think it's going to be anything close to what Ken Starr's 1998 Starr report had. I mean, that was a porn. That I told you that was just it was a porn novel. It was amazing. Okay, but that was an independent counsel statute. That's not the special counsel statute. It's a different statute. So don't expect, you know, Ken Starr's report. That was 400 pages, and it had the legal grounds for impeachment for President Bill Clinton, including obstruction of justice. I don't know if Mueller's going to, you know, do that. or if he's going to, you know, do something shorter. Apparently, according to the reporting, he's written a comprehensive report. So let's say he took the middle ground there. Okay, something like the Watergate roadmap. That was 55 pages, Watergate was, and it's set forth. Factual findings that the special prosecutor found, it made no legal recommendations. That was the Watergate thing. Now, Mueller hasn't said anything, you know, in public so far, but his court filings, I'm telling you, this is how we followed the whole 22 months, through all of these speaking indictments. They were extensively detailed. Now, if he follows that practice, then the final report should be telling us a compelling and detailed narrative, with the indictments being all connected, right? And so we'll have one whole story, I hope. The second thing we should look for is, will Bill Barr show it to the White House in advance? We don't know that because, according to, you know, Miss, you know, Black Lies and, you know, Ashy Gray, according to Sarah, they haven't been briefed. So, and it seems like Bill Barr is briefing the ranking member and the chairman of the Senate and House Judiciary Committees. So we'll skip that. Here's the big question. What is Barr going to give to Congress, and what is he going to give to the public? Well, under the special counsel regulations, he has to provide first to Congress, which he has, the chair and the ranking member of the Senate and House Judiciary Committees, a description of any instance where the Attorney General disagreed and overruled Mueller. We have that letter. He said he has not found any single instance. That's the interesting thing, okay? He said, the special counsel regulations require that I provide you with a description and explanation of instances in which the Attorney General concluded that a proposed action by Mueller, the special counsel, was so inappropriate or unwanted unwarranted that it should not be pursued. And he said there were no such instances. Now, we know that he's not withholding from Congress. We just don't know what we're going to get. But he does say in this letter that he thinks maybe he could tell Congress and the public, consistent with the law, things that would be of public interest sometime this weekend. Now, as a caveat, I have to tell you, we weren't going to be here Monday because we were going to install this TriCaster piece of equipment, this tens of thousands of dollars. We're going to be here Monday. I'm going to postpone that so that we can be here to discuss whatever comes out over the weekend. I'll see if we can get our engineers, and when there's two of them that I have to coordinate, if we can get them to come in Tuesday or Wednesday instead, but we will be here Monday. All right? So stand by for news. Mueller is done. The judiciary committees are being briefed right now. And sometime over the weekend, we might get a glimpse into the fabulous mind that is Robert Swan Mueller III. Buy a Stinkin' Podcast.